She was suffering from cancer. Many of you know her from upstate New York. But the great grace is that she died peacefully with all the sacraments. And her family was by her reciting the Litany of the Saints. What a great grace. So we pray that although there is a sorrow in the world, that we can imitate her death and die well. The second collection today is for the Academy. There seems to be a mistake in the bulletin. It mentions for a different destination, but it is for the Academy today. Do note tomorrow there is a sung Mass in honor of Our Lady of the Immaculate Heart in the evening if you wish to attend. Please keep in your prayers the Academy as we go through our second week of orientation for the staff this week. The senior boy boarders come on Wednesday, the rest of the boarders on Friday, and then the school next Monday. And for any parents and staff, there is a meeting this coming Friday at 7 p.m. Please attend. And if anyone would like to help prepare this school year, we had a work day yesterday, and Father DeLallo's words were that was not a good attendance. So I'll let his words resound. But you have opportunities this week in the evenings if you would like to come, even non-academy associated parishioners, just to help clean and prepare. And next Saturday, if you wish, just contact Lauren Mater, as it will be a busy day. But if you would like to donate some time, we would be grateful. And all those who came yesterday, I do thank all of you for your help. After Mass today is the Mother of Lou prayer, every third Sunday. And I just let you know that there are many vocations which will be at the pilgrimage this year. The teaching Dominican sisters have agreed to come, although their school year has not yet started. They will be there on Saturday. We will have three religious brothers in attendance serving the Mass and about 15 priests. So please do spread that knowledge and attend if you can to encourage vocations. There is a table or two of pilgrimage items that you might have seen. One is for t-shirts that is constantly being filled, and the second is with other articles. Please do take as much as you would like from that table. They're donation only. They're old items, but people now want to hopefully have water bottles for the new water fountains. You can get a free water bottle there to promote the pilgrimage. Do you see the table? And God willing, we can spread this event through the items that you give away. The epistle today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Brethren, I make known unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast after what manner I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you the first of all, which also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and after that by the 11. Then was he seen by more than 500 brethren at once, of whom many remain until this present, and some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James and by all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen by me as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I have persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace in me hath not been void. The gospel taken from St. Mark chapter 7. At that time, Jesus, going out into the coast of Tyre, came by Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, to the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they, bringing to him one deaf and dumb, they besought him that he would lay his hands upon him. And taking him from the multitude apart, he put his fingers into his ears, and spitting, he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, which is, be thou opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke right. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more great deal did they publish it. And so much the more did they wonder, saying, He hath done all things well. He hath made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. I was told that there is a broken down train. If you were late to Mass because of that, have peace of heart. Those are the inconveniences that God allows to test if you're disposed, and not to get angry, but to know that none of those things make us guilty of any mistake. Also, I'm not here to surprise you. I was not supposed to be here today, but a death was dictating things. There is someone who passed away in Pittsburgh this weekend. Therefore, Father Hanos went there to attend to the funeral. I will not be here until after the pilgrimage. I'll be in Pittsburgh next week, Binghamton the following, at the pilgrimage on September 11th, my next sermon on September 18th. Therefore, please strap in and prepare for this one. Pilgrimages are for sinners, not only for saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. During this month of August, all of us, each and every one who is at the age of reason, should be preparing for the academic year. The young children are preparing for school. The adults, yes, you must be prepared to further your education in some manner. Those going to college are stressing already about the term that they will have to meet. Education is something of life. We're all on pilgrimage to heaven, but we have to learn how to get there. We have to remain focused. Every day that goes by is another opportunity for the devil to wage war against our flesh because we are weak. Let us never forget this pilgrimage of life requires a constant education on how to get to God through the church. There is an Angelus magazine published by the Society, available in the bookstore today, on education. Let us remind ourselves on some of these thoughts so that we are on the right track and live in truth. We must remember that education is firstly, primarily, a priestly duty. Many of us are puzzled at this moment because we think parents, parental rights, I am the first educator of my children. We can clarify both points, but let us remember that parents do not send their children to God directly, but through the Catholic Church. Through baptism, we are given the grace necessary for heaven. This image has to be in our mind, and also realize that we are often mistaken about priests. We think priests are supposed to sanctify, to govern, and at times teach. Those are the three powers of a priest. However, to teach is the principal office of a priest. We're mistaken. We have been malformed. But today we want to live in that truth. And so even for parents, you must work with the church, with the priests, to help your children and yourselves. Also, because of this modern crisis, there are fewer priests. There are priests who don't teach in Catholic schools, who cannot teach every class. And therefore, we have this item because what we see is what we think. We think lay people have a certain power of teaching, when yet they're just an extension of the priest. There was a student who recently had to visit the principal. And when confronted about the disrespect given to a teacher, it was mentioned, did they not remember that each teacher is an extension of the principal who is a priest? They were bewildered. They were shocked that that was true. They were horrified that they offended the principal, having offended a layperson. They said they never would have offended the layperson if they knew that they were an extension of the priest. Many things to dissect there. One is a horror that someone would not care about offending a layperson. But also, they did not know that education comes from God through the church to the people. Today we want to live in truth. And on this note, we also want to remember, because of the lack of priests and the lack of time that you have, we think that priests only have 15 and maybe 20 minutes from the pulpit on once a week. That's all you get, and that may be all you want, but that is not sufficient. But that's the modern church today. That's the life we live. This is the only time the priest is able to teach you, because you don't go to catechism, you don't listen to the things recorded, you don't read yourself, and that's something that you must examine. We will not elongate sermons, but we all have to note that somewhere, somehow, we have to keep our formation going. The devil's planning the attack even during this sermon. Is he really truthful? All in all, this sermon will be an education format on the term pilgrimage. We have to learn the historic part of a pilgrimage. We have to see it linked to the liturgy of today. The church teaches us a pilgrimage today. And also we want to see the application to a practical thing in the life of a saint. Pilgrimages are part of our life. Some of you here seated have just done a pilgrimage. Father Brueggemann is flying back today from Denver, Colorado, having gone 50 miles in 2 days for you to prepare for this academic year. Why would he have missed time here? Why would he exhaust himself? If you knew him, he wouldn't do that. But he did it because it was grace-filled. A pilgrimage, very simply, historically speaking, is an event wherein you travel from point A to point B. This has gone since the early time of the church, the most ancient one being the Holy Land pilgrimages. We know the apparitions for Our Lady in Fatima and Lourdes, the famous one of Santiago. But the unfortunate thing is we think those are the only pilgrimages, when really, a pilgrimage going from point A to ending at a point B, which is holy, that can be a pilgrimage. Each pilgrimage gives to us an opportunity of a plenary indulgence. We can delete all past punishment due to venial sin and forgiven mortal sin. This is an important event. We should want to go to pilgrimages every week, but we're not able. But yet when we can, we should. And also we have to see that you don't have to traverse to these beautiful places of the Holy Land, to Lourdes, and yet people do it because they have great faith. How many of us know of someone who was crippled, deaf, dumb, maimed, and who went to Lourdes and bathed in that water and were cured physically? To my knowledge, none of us know someone by name. Very few people are cured. And yet, by the thousands, people go on pilgrimage to those locations. Spiritual healing, spiritual miracles do take place. And that's what we're about. We don't care about the body. We care about the soul. But what we have to remember is that we should have similar faith as that crippled person who travels from America transatlantic, who can't go to Mass because they're bedridden, but they'll get on a plane with the help of one or two others. They pay that expense. They spend that time, and they come back not changed in body, having expended so much time, energy, and money. And they please God in doing so. We don't have to do that. Within 2 hours' drive, the convenience of spending one day, it's a long, exhaustive day, can go on a pilgrimage from point A to point B, and actually we have more here in Auriesville, New York. When you leave your home and travel across the Atlantic Ocean, although it's fun, you're going to do some traveling as well on pilgrimage, when you go from the start of the 10-mile pilgrimage in New York to the Auriesville Shrine, you're starting on holy ground. You're ending at a holy place. Not every pilgrimage starts at a holy place. New York is a holy ground, despite what people say and despite what you believed. New York, having been drenched by the blood of three martyrs in the 17th century, is holy ground. Let us respect this ground. Let us use this ground for the church and not for ourselves only. We also have to realize that pilgrimages are for everyone. The babies who annoy people during Mass because they scream, yes, they are supposed to go on pilgrimage. They have not sinned. We have to control our emotions, because if a parish is not crying, you know the rest is dying. We want children here. We want children on pilgrimage. Why? Because before the age of 5, you parents hopefully know this, your children are formed. Before the age of reason, the children have certain habits that they will continue following. If you bring a child in a stroller, if you bring a child to play games at lunch, if you bring a child and have to take them out of the Shrine Mass because they're screaming and you have to discipline them, that child eventually will go on their own pilgrimage. We know things because we've been impressed from the earliest ages. But also, if you're crippled and have a cane and can't imagine to go 5 steps without being exhausted, you should go on the pilgrimage, because you need the athletic people to help you, to push you in a wheelchair. You can just pray all day in the Colosseum how great it would be to have a day recollection. You can pass out water. You can cheer everyone on. The pilgrimage is for everyone. It's not just for saints, but it's especially for sinners. You are all the saints of New York. The sinner, those outside these walls who are too lazy to come to Mass, who don't adore God on bended knee, those are supposed to go on pilgrimage. Don't be scared about what they'll wear, what they'll say, how lost they will be. It's up to us to let them lockstep with us, to teach them by example what to do and when to do it. The epistle of today's Mass, St. Paul clearly states, he is not worthy to be called an apostle, and yet he is the apostle to the Gentiles. Because he persecuted the church, he was there witnessing the death of St. Stephen. Despite our sins of the past, despite our unconfessed mortal sins that we may have upon our conscience today, despite how bad someone else you may know has been, they ought to go on the pilgrimage. It is because of the pilgrimage and the graces therein, the prayers and sacrifices, that we will change our life. The gospel of today, this man deaf and dumb is brought to Christ, the faith these people had, and Christ opened the senses of this man. This is what takes place on the pilgrimage. Many of us and many of those going will not realize what a vocation is, but by seeing the 15 Dominican nuns, by seeing the many priests, by seeing the confessions said throughout the day, by seeing people pray incessantly, by seeing the youth do what is hard but with joy, this will open the senses of those people. They will have miracles performed by God through the church, we as the instruments. This is not something to scoff at. This is not something to neglect. This is something, if not this year, to participate in at some point during our life. The church gives us these opportunities. Too many times, many of us neglect to do it. Pilgrimages are not just for saints, but particularly for sinners. If we are not yet convinced that September 10th, this should be a ghost town. And we should all be, as possible, at the pilgrimage. Let us ask St. Jean Frances de Chantal. Today is her feast day. She died in 1641, a year before St. René Goupil, the first North American martyr, shed his blood on this New York soil. St. Jean Frances de Chantal, at the age of 28, had six children and was widowed. It's the 17th century, but by 28, having six children, she was widowed. What did she do? She did not mourn for the rest of her life. She gave her children to her father, a very generous older man who cared for her children so that she could go found a religious order. She founded the Order of the Visitation Sisters. She was under the direction of St. Francis de Sales. What a great spiritual director, the same one who read as his favorite book, The Spiritual Combat, which we are going through in the adult catechism twice a month. St. Frances Jean de Chantal, she knew that she needed God through the church. She was directed by St. Francis, a priest of the church, to do this holy, incredible, impossible thing that many, many married women with children would think to do. It was a specific grace. But she went on pilgrimage. She went to heaven through these acts of difficulty. The death of a spouse, leaving six children, feel that in your heart. But she continued walking, continued giving, and so we must do. Let us ask for that grace and never turn back, but always look forward to know that the pilgrimages are opportunities for us by which we will be saved. And if we then are saved through pilgrimages, we will hopefully try to extend this great, joyful opportunity to others. We will try to meet 1,000 people on the pilgrimage. It's up to you to go or to send someone in your stead. If you do not go, but someone else does, you have done a great deed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.